promise this is the last time I'll be up here. We are blessed to have Pastor Sid Cooperus visit us today. He has served 17 years at Trinity Christian Reformed Church in Abbotsford and has recently accepted a call to Grimsby, Ontario. He's previously served in Guelph, Ontario, and I hope it's okay I'm sharing this. He said before the service he heard that wise men came from the east, only fools return. And he also said the church he's going to is Mountain View, but he doubts if they ever saw Mount Baker over there. So they might, their definition of mountain might be different than ours. I'll invite him up and pray for him. Lord, we thank you so much for bringing Pastor Sid here. And we pray that you would prepare our hearts for the message that you have prepared through him that you're about to deliver to us. We thank you for his faithful service to you, for how he has walked with you, for how you have walked with him through his ministry. And we know you will continue to walk with him as he moves over to Ontario and the new congregation there. We pray that you prepare their hearts as well for his ministry there. We pray for you to walk with him and encourage him as they say goodbye to some longtime friends and in eternity and in their neighborhood. We pray all of this in your name. Amen.
Thanks, Dave. Shoot, you stole all my one-liners. Well, is it ever good to be with you this morning? And I want to say a special welcome on this special day. I want to say a special welcome to you may be here for the very first time. You may be here with some of your friends from youth who said, why don't you come to our camp out? Or you may have come here today from an invitation of a neighbor who said, you know what, we've got some great programs for our kids, for your kids. And I think they would really be blessed by them. And if you are here for the first time, we really want to welcome you. We trust and pray that it was not only your own decision to come this morning, but that the Lord indeed is working in wonderful ways in your life. I'm going to read from Romans chapter 12. And what we do in church is we worship and we praise the Lord. We come to him in prayer, but we also turn to his word and we take a portion of Scripture, a passage, and sometimes even focus on one verse. And then we read that verse together, and we take a few moments, and I have been given the privilege during this past week to spend some time on this passage, to spend some time, and we just grow that passage into our hearts and into our lives. And so this morning we're reading from Romans chapter 12. It's a letter written by the Apostle Paul. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of your faith God has given you, just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, you who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all of them. Each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace God has given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in the proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let her encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let her govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. So far, the reading of God's word. The closing words on a letter or an email, before your name is signed, before your signature, the closing words are called a valediction. A valediction. You've heard of a valedictorian giving the closing speech for the graduating class. Well, the closing words on a letter are called a valediction. And the most common valedictions used are sincerely, or sincerely yours, followed by your name. If you page through the Apostle Paul's letters in the New Testament, and you look how he ends each of the letters, you will find most of his endings end with these words: grace be with you. May the grace of Jesus Christ be with you. Well, over the past number of years, I've noticed that I close most of my emails and most of my letters, most of my communications, with the words, serving Christ together. And then I write my name. And as I prepare to give my valedictorian sermon at Trinity Church, what has filtered through 17 years of ministry is how we've been serving Christ together. Serving Christ together is what churches do. It's what we've come to honor and celebrate here this morning as you begin a new church calendar year. It's what the Apostle Paul wrote about in his letter to the early Christian church in Rome, when he said these words: just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Imagine. You belong to each other. Ancient literature often spoke of the body being made up of many members, yet all being the same, being part of one body. It was not unusual for them to speak of villages and towns and cities where people would work together. Farmers, traders, bakers, and those who make weapons, each doing their part, and yet differently, but not separate, but being united as part of the same village, part of the same town, part of the same body. There's a distinct difference in the Apostle Paul's teaching and using an example of the body. He tied each member of the body as being in Christ. We are a body in Christ. Being a body in Christ is what makes our membership unique. Unique to a membership of Newlands Golf Course and Country Club. Unique to membership with the Langley Kiwanis Club. Unique to a membership belonging to BCAA, which has its privileges. Unique to being part of the body, the student body at Simon Fraser University. or the University of BC, being a part of the body of Christ changes everything for us in the world that we live in. And that's what the Apostle Paul is trying to explain to the early Christian church in Rome. He spends all of chapters 1 through 11 trying to explain that those who are in Christ are part of Christ's body. And the story is actually quite riveting, especially when it is heard amidst the tensions of Jews who did not traditionally mix with Gentiles, or of people of Israel finally being able to mix with slaves and slave owners in Rome. Instead of dividing the nations, the world, between nations and tribes, between ethnic groups and race, the Apostle Paul draws the division line with those who live in the old body that's tied to the law. And of course, the ones who knew the law best were the Israelites. That's the body that's plagued by sin. And that's the body who live in the body of death. So he comes to this conclusion in chapter 7. So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law in my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man am I! Who will rescue me from this body of death? And that's the question that he hangs just before chapter 8. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And here's where the gospel story comes alive, where the miracle of the death of Jesus Christ marks the death of our old selves and the complete forgiveness of sins. This is so completely different from the view that was developing among Greek philosophers in the Roman era, where there were dualists separating the body from the spirit, the earthly realm and the spiritual realm, with a growing depreciation of the earthly body because it was not all that important anyway. Therefore, it seemed acceptable in Greek thinking to give oneself over to debauchery and sexual immorality and a life of licentiousness and sin because it did not pertain to the spiritual realm. That was different. And how different is Greek philosophy from the culture that we live in, the culture of many of our campuses, in our secular colleges and universities, where hedonism says there is no God. So therefore, seek pleasure and live for yourself. And of course, respecting the boundaries of others. Just as his words impacted the early Christian Church of Rome, so Paul's words stir our ears today as he says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Notice he does not say, offer your bodies as sacrifices. He uses the strange adjective of living sacrifices, because not only have you been rescued from your body of death in Christ, you were also brought into Christ's resurrection into a body of life. You have been tied into the sacrifice and death of Jesus Christ and raised with him in his righteousness. You have been programmed to die to yourself and to live with Christ Jesus and grow in him. And here's what makes those who are in the body of Christ unique. That you've already been made holy and pleasing to God. Even before you've signed up for anything. Even before you've begun to teach or do your ministry or your pastoral care in the body of Christ. This is how powerful and how fragrant the sacrifice of Jesus is. You are holy and pleasing to God. You are the people creating work of Jesus and the people empowering work of the Holy Spirit. You are the body of Christ. So do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. At the beginning of another church calendar year, it is appropriate for you as a congregation to take time and meditate on the mystery and the magnificence of the body of Christ. And I mean you, Willoughby Community Church. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. And of course, when you hear those words, you've got to believe that the Apostle Paul was thinking of what Jesus taught his disciples. When his disciples asked, Jesus, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Who's in the hall of fame in your estimation? And Jesus responds, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And that's what's remarkable about the body of Christ. That's what has a way of drawing people in, having astounding people. There are many organizations outside of the church who are looking for volunteers, who work hard on bringing volunteers in. In the body of Christ, it's different. Where else can you find lawyers working with Sunday school teachers? Mentally and physically handicapped adults blessing and strengthening the hearts of carpenters and housemakers alike. CEOs of major corporations going on missions trips with young people. There's an in-Christness at work within the body that goes beyond even our own understanding. It's where nations and cultures and races and ethnic groups are able to gather together and be one. This is part of the mystery that gives the Apostle Paul the audacity to declare, there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And this is a whole lot more powerful than what the Vancouver Canucks tried to convince us of all last year, where they insisted that we are all Canucks. The difference is the body of Christ has God's Holy Spirit within it. that holds and binds and equips us together. And this is how we serve Christ together. We have different gifts according to the grace God has given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Now, where do you suppose the Apostle Paul received these teachings from? Yes, inspired by the Holy Spirit, of course. But I cannot help wonder if the Apostle Paul did not observe what was happening in this new community in Rome, this synagogue in Colossia, this gathering of believers in Philippi, this community in Corinth and in Thessalonica. And there he was able to see that there was something much larger at work in our midst. Where Jews were actually mixing it up with Gentiles. Where people from Israel were welcoming and enfolding those who lived in their same villages, same towns, same cities in which they were placed. Where part of being the body of Christ was being in the neighborhood, in the communities, and in the places where Christ has planted us. Well, as Dave mentioned, you have heard that I've accepted a call to serve a church in Grimsby, Ontario. And after 17 years of ministry in Abbotsford, we'll be pulling up roots to serve another congregation, another church, another community. And I also know that your senior pastor recently left, and that you too are looking for another person to serve you and to lead. Now, those who look from the outside might suggest that you are vacant. But those of you who are here know different. You are not vacant at all, but rather you are full. You are the body of Christ and filled with God's Holy Spirit. How can anyone suggest you are vacant? It's not as if ministry stops, as if compassion ceases, as if teachings are on hold. And I'm guessing that a few of you have even noticed that in a pastor's absence, you may have sensed others or even yourself open to pitching in and sharing your gifts to strengthen and serve the body of Christ. That's what the Spirit does. Through each one of God's Holy Spirit, God produces fruit in His kingdom. I can tell you, in Trinity Church, we have this relationship with a women's treatment center called Life Recovery, where broken, beaten, and battered women come, where their lives were held captive in their addiction to alcohol and drugs to help numb the pain of everyday life. 10 or 15 women worship with us every Sunday morning. And not everyone is comfortable with their presence. But there are a number of people who make a point of introducing themselves each Sunday again to someone they don't know, trying to make them feel welcome. And in those small gestures of grace, they will testify to the whole body being incredibly accepting of their presence. Each Wednesday evening, they come to our Alpha program, where only a few people from the congregation feel qualified to teach. And yet, in those 8, 10, 11, 12 weeks of gathering each week again, they befriend another and again sense the larger body of Christ. And then there are those who feel they've got better gifts in preparing meals, in hospitality, and they say, let me help in the kitchen. 5, 6, 7 people in the kitchen every Wednesday night preparing meals so that we begin with a meal and then go into our teachings, much like Dine and Discover here in Langley. There are still others who have little to do with these, who come new into the church, yet they're moved enough by their transformations and their testimonies through the gospel that they volunteered themselves every year again to organize a golf tournament where they raise $20,000 each year to sustain this ministry. And what amazes me so much is how God's Spirit is at work, using the gifts of each member within the congregation. You have testimonies of God's grace at work in this place as well. Through your daycare, Covenant Kids, through Sun Life and the Children's Ministry, through the Seniors Ministry, your congregation has taken on similar initiatives, reaching beyond your walls, beyond your borders, extending partnerships in faraway places, even as far as Sierra Leone. There are so many different ways in which the Holy Spirit breathes on the coals of our hearts, igniting flames of love for His kingdom in our world today. You are a body blessed. You are the body of Christ, which has you following Jesus and celebrating life in Him. You are gathering by God's grace, a people who are growing in godliness as you spend your lives going out in gratitude to serve the world by giving of your spiritual gifts and resources for the common good, glorifying God in all of life. Therefore, offer yourselves as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual worship. Be mindful of the mystery and the magnificent beauty of the body of Christ as you begin a new season of fellowship, worshiping, and ministry, serving Christ together. And all God's people said, amen. Father, we want to thank you for including us in this mystery. Jesus, we want to thank you for inviting us to your wedding, making us one, calling us your bride. Holy Spirit, we want to thank you for being in our midst, for calling our body your home, our bodies your temple. And so we pray your blessing, and may you have your way in this body, in Willoughby. And may your kingdom continue to come, and may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We give our hearts and our lives again this Sunday morning, the beginning of this season, to you, Holy Spirit, Jesus, Father, In your name we pray. Amen.